So this is the definition. You can just look at yourself, and then Geshe is going to explain. He says the definition of the Prasangika is a madhyamika who, by means of positing a mere consequence known to the others, does not accept true existence even nominally. So, you know, when he says the mere consequence known to the others, the mere consequence known to the others, usually, you know, when we say the inference, inferential cognition or inference, like you say something, and then you give a reason to prove that something. Like you say the sound is impermanent because it's a product. You know, so that is the inference. You know, so by understanding the sound to be, you know, the sound and the sound to be product, we come to understand that sound, you know, is impermanent because it's a product. So if it's a product, it has to be impermanent because the sound is a product, therefore it is impermanent. And so we come to understand that. But the Prasangika Madhyamika is saying this, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to give all these reasons clearly like that. You can say sound, you know, sound is a non-product because it's a permanent. And you can say sound is non-product because it's a permanent. You know. So when you hear that, you know, when you hear that, by that logic, by that reasoning, then you can come to understand. By contemplating or by thinking on that logic, you know, then you will come to understand the sound, you know, and then you will come to understand the sound to be impermanent. And then does not accept true existence, even nominally. So true existence, right? So and nothing exists truly. So that's do not accept true existence, even nominally.
Oh, yeah.
So the Savatantika Madhyamika and Prasangika Madhyamika, they both are same in accepting, you know, the phenomena, you know, that they both are same, you know, in not accepting the true existence even nominally. They both are same in that, but then when they say true existent, you know, do not accept the true existent. When they explain the true existent, then there comes again the differences in them. Savatantika Madhyamika, you know, says that, you know, the things do not exist truly, but they exist from their own side by way of its own characteristic. But in the Prasangika Madhyamika school, the, you know, existing from its one side, existing by way of its own characteristic, and existing truly have the same meaning.
Oh, yeah. That's the negative. That is you, you know, tell us, and then, Kasa. So, you say, you know, but then, Dawa, Tama, Ni, Kare.
Did you get
it? Okay. Konyibo, Kasa.
So so who asserts into this kind of views? So those are like Buddha Palita, Chandrakirti, and such in the Shanti Deva and so forth. So those are the examples as you can see in the text here. And then third one is the etymology, and it's same as what I mentioned earlier. This is why you call such and so and so a proponent of Prasangika Madhyamika. So here they give the and it says Acharya Buddha Palita is called a Prasangika, and then this give the reason.
Oh yeah.
And then the fourth is the mode of asserting objects. And so there are two kinds of objects. It says the hidden and manifest. So if it is the object, or if it exists, then it has to be either hidden or it has to be either manifest.
Oh yeah. 公爵的时候就开始了，那么就把他们就念把自己动不动的，每个大把自己动不动的，就是上路当完了，等那动过呀，就来呀，公爵的时候，公爵就完事，卡住动不动呀嘛，就是上路当完了，等那动过呀，这那公爵，公爵的时候呢，我就把个眉头的，我高的，我看不着的，每个把大眼睛，常常动不动呀，是吧？我就来那公爵的时候，是吧？So
the hidden phenomena are those which cannot be which cannot be seen by our eyes and cannot be heard by our ear, and something that has to come down, that has to be cognized or realized through reasonings. So that is called hidden phenomena. And then the manifesting phenomena are those which are obvious to us, like the flower, the pillar, the house. So these things, that are obvious are the manifest.
Oh yeah. 到了天呢，多个别有那么高就是，到了天呢多个面色的时候呢，从头数到脚往上数，数到那里都是讲的高点的有的人，是吧？数到几位，他们也得多把第一次，到了天呢多个要多个要去，就是了，高就是个的意思。因为从头那里到了没得把，用多几个的别有那么高就是个的，这别讲的多啊。
And it says in the text here, hidden objects must be realized by depending on a sign. Manifest objects are objects that can be ascertained by ordinary beings through the power of experience without depending on the sign. So that is the difference of the hidden and manifest objects. And then the example of the hidden objects says impermanence of the sound and sound's emptiness of true existence. So, so these are the examples that's given in the text. But when you put into practice, you can say the instead of saying the sound, you can say the impermanence of the aggregate. So the aggregate that is impermanent, or the one's aggregate that is impermanent, and then oneself that is impermanent. And so because when we hear the something to be impermanent, then we think that is the only thing that is impermanent. We don't think that upon ourselves, because we are so used to thinking or grasping at permanence, and thinking of ourselves as permanent since being this time, then we don't realize. We only think of impermanence on others. Right. Usually, it's it should be applied upon oneself. Think of the oneself being impermanent.
And
So whether one is thinking of the impermanence of oneself or thinking of the impermanence of other object, you know, whichever one is thinking of, you know, one has to come to realize that object to be impermanent by depending on some kind of science or some kind of reason. Without that, one will not understand. One will not be able to understand oneself or other object to be impermanent. So therefore, those things are called hidden objects.
Oh yes. But then, as you know, that the body be tonga tonga re, rani the body be tonga tonga re, talat ene tonga uyar es. That then says ni pet na vijano.
And then second example, you know, whether